I was talking with George sometime this week, and we were talking, and this is what come up. If somebody was to come in my office and sit down and say to me, Pastor, I am a person that love having sex with 10, 8, 7-year-olds. And he's sitting there in my office and says he can't help himself. What would I tell him? And in fact, he's still doing it. The first thing that comes to my mind, you know what it is? You've got to stop. Obviously, when he leaves my office, I would call the authorities. But I would say to him, you have to stop. Why is that? Because some sins to us is grosser than other sins. Isn't that correct? If somebody comes in my office and they say to me, you know, I have a problem with lying. And I lie pretty frequently. Somehow within me, I wouldn't have that same type of, you've got to stop. But you know what? I am wrong. Sin is sin. Don't matter how gross it is. We want the person that is doing a sin that is in our mind that is so gross to stop and to stop now. But we who are doing the little, as we would call them, petty sins, we want to be able to carry on because it's a petty sin. Well, I tell you this morning, sin is sin. And if you're sinning, you need to stop now. You know, as I meditate on that, I thought, boy, that's hard. It's hard. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11. For this command I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither it is beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the seas for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can do it. See, I set before you today life and death. Life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commands and statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to you. Lord, bless your word to give to them. Bless your word. Bless your word, Lord. You know, as I read this, this text, and I hope you guys read the text. You know where we're going to be every week. So you should be as familiar with this text as I am. It says here, what is the commandment of the Lord? Where, you know, I was telling somebody in the car the other day, I was saying to them, I believe the word of God is very plain. I don't believe you have to go digging deep to get what God is saying in his word. Now, there's sometimes I do have to dig. I have to look at a word and I want to know how they used the word back then. Was that the correct word in the Greek that we have translated in the English? Is it meaning the same? How many times did Paul use this word, and was it in the same circumstances that he used this word? Yes, to give me a better understanding. But for the most part, as you read the word of God, it is the word of God, and it's plain and it's simple. Not only that, the scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit that lives within us gives us understanding when we read the word. And here he says, the command of God, the word of God, what he has given us is not too hard. It's not too far. It's not just in heaven that we have to go get it, or it's not beyond the sea. We have a problem today. Why we don't know the word of God is because we're not spending time in the word of God. Isaiah 48 verse 16 says, draw near to me. Hear this, from the beginning I have not spoken in what? In secret. God has not spoken in secret. If you are using as your argument, I do not know, something is wrong. You do not have God in your heart. God's word is not secretive. In fact, in Romans chapter 1, he tells us that the heavens declare who he is. That no one is with excuse. I guarantee this morning, when you all do something that displeases God, you know it. You know it. Where is the word of God? Where is the command of God? Right here in this text, it says it's near you. It's close. It's not far off. It's right there. It is so close you can't even imagine it. Now, I don't know about you, but I lose things all the time. I don't know if it's a sign of old age, or is it a sign of, as my wife would say, it's a man's disease. I would go look for something, and I would open the door, and it's sitting right in front of my eyes, and I don't see it. I mean, I look and look and look and look, and I can't see it. And I said, Jill, it's not there. In fact, it happened yesterday. I wanted to make some coffee. And Jill said, the coffee is in the cupboard right there. I went over to the cupboard. I opened the cupboard. I looked for the coffee and I don't see it. So I said to Jill, where is the coffee? It's not there. You may have put it somewhere else. Jill said to me, it's right there. So I looked again. Finally, when I couldn't find it, I went back to the table and Jill went and picked up the coffee right where she told me it was. Sometimes the word of God is so near to us, I don't know why we don't see it. How near it is? It's in our mouth and it's in our hearts. Where's the word of God? In your mouth and in your heart. The word of God is so close to you, and sometimes you ignore it. Let me show you how we ignore the word of God. Good example. And I thought my week, last week, I thought, boy, what else would go wrong? I had to mail a letter, and I decided I'll go to the big post office instead of going to the tiny one here. I wish I went to the tiny one. And I took a road I usually don't travel on. And it says about 45 miles an hour, so usually I drive about 50 miles an hour. Well, I'm not paying attention, and I'm driving down the road. Never see the sign change to 35 miles an hour. I see the cops, but I think I'm going the right speed limit. I never slow down. Why? I think I'm doing fine. So I got, pulls me over, gives me a ticket. I drive off. The next day I'm coming. I come here. You know how you feel when you get a ticket. I'm saying to myself, I could use that money. I'm going to give for this ticket to do something. I'm thinking all the things now I could use this money for. And then I'm driving home and I said, well, I guess I'm not going to donate to the police department this year. They already got their donation. Well, they get a better donation because I don't think I'd donate that much. Well, I get ready to come to church to the office the next day, and something tells me, check the air in your tire. So, I ignored it. I get in the car, and I'm driving down the road, and I hear, plop, 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 plop. That was the Lord telling me to check my tire. How close is the word of God? It's in our mouth and in our heart. Sometimes we choose to ignore it. Have you ever had a time that you know that something told you so, but you didn't do it, and then you suffer the consequences for it? Where is the word of God? It is so near you, so close to you, that you can't even see it. But then, sometimes it's because we are not putting the word of God where the word of God needs to be. You know, in Psalm chapter 1, he said, and I will meditate on the word of God day and when? Night. What happens when you meditate? It becomes part of you. Instead of when that person cuts you off, you tell them where to go, you could say, save them, Lord. In time past, somebody cut me off, I used to call them an idiot. I used to say, where you got your license? Now, I never give them the finger because I don't want them to recognize me as a preacher another day. But I tell them all I want to tell them in my mind. Come on now. Don't tell me you all have it together now. Come on. Don't tell me you got it together. But guess what? Because of my time I'm spending in the word of God is in my mouth. So now I bless them instead of curse them. I say, bless them, Lord. Touch them. They may be in a hurry. They may be late for work. They may be even having a bad day. And here am I putting curses on them instead of blessings. You know why sometimes we speak like that? Because the word of God is not in your mouth. And the only way the word of God is going to get in your mouth is to meditate on the word of God day and night. Not only that, Psalms 119 tells me, and I learned this as a little boy. This is how important it is for you to teach your children the scripture. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Where's the word? Where is it hid? In your heart. Who hides it there? You do. Because he said, thy word have I hid in my heart. You have a part to play. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. How does it become that? You have to make it become that. God comes in, we learned last week, when we are far off, he can reach us wherever we are, and God can circumcise our heart and make us know him, but we have a part to play to let the word of God be hidden in our hearts. You know that God told his people this. He said, you write it on your doorpost. You talk about it when you sit down around the table. You talk about it when you're laying down at bed at night. Unfortunately, some of these husband and wife, instead of talking about the word of God, what they're doing is just cursing one another. Well, we'll get to that when we get to marriages. Hallelujah. So God says here in this scripture, he says, there's two roads ahead of us. Two roads. The road to life and good, and the road to death and evil. I may be jumping ahead, but we as believers are taking exams every day in our life. There's tests that come to us every day in our life, and we have choices to make. If you go down to the end of the chapter, he says, it's like it's an open book test. Not only that, he gave you the answer. You know, I would have loved it when I was going to college that they would make those exams open book. Not only that they will give me the key the night before, so when I sit down in the exam room, I make an A. Look how God loves us. Look how he cares for us. He tells us, you're going to be tested. You're going to have an exam, and he gave you the key already so that you could ace it. Choose life. We are faced every day with decisions. And our decisions determines if we're going to walk in the goodness of God or in the curses. You know, we don't look at it that way. Which way are you going to choose? Which way are you going to choose? You know, I am very conscious of when I choose wrong. Very conscious of when I choose wrong. And I'm very conscious of when I choose right. But this is how I like it. I want to be able to choose wrong and be blessed. How many of us want to be able to choose wrong and be blessed? Okay. I was hoping I see everybody's hands. Because if you didn't say that, something is wrong here. I need to go spend a month in prayer and fasting. Because that's what we like. We want to take what we believed is the easy path. That's what we want to do. But God says we have to choose righteousness. We have to choose life. What is the way of life? What is the way of life? And it tells us right here in this scripture. The way of life is obedience. The way of life is obedience. I wish growing up as a child, I learned obedience was the way of life. I did not learn that. But in my journey along the way, I am learning more and more every day. What is obedience? What is obedience? Obedience is loving God. Obedience is loving God. Let me tell you something about love. When you love someone, you really don't want to hurt them. You do things that would enhance the relationship and not hurt the relationship because you love somebody. We love better when we are very selfish. I'll explain. When you first meet that person you really, really like and infatuated with, you like how they look for a guy, she looks hot. I still remember the day when I first saw my wife. I remember how she looked. I remember that hair. Boy, did I love that hair. Wow. And then she could walk in some heels, I tell you. I mean, she used to put on some heels. And she never knew this until after marriage, okay? She never knew why I walked in the back. She would always be in the front, and I would be in the back. Because I just loved the way she walked in those heels. She don't wear a lot of heels anymore. And then she used to wear these. Let me tell you, we are very selfish people, you know. But we give out our best love when we're selfish. You know why? We want to win their hearts. Right? We want not to hurt them because we don't want them to move away from us. We want to draw them close to us. Right? I still remember Jill had an outfit I loved. It was a fall outfit. It was a jacket and a skirt. And she wore her heels with those. And it was like this. The jacket will come in like this and get tight really here at the waist. And then it had a little frill that did like this. So, and then the skirt was kind of tight fitting going down. Woo, my Lord. Hallelujah. Woo. But guess what? I was doing everything I can to draw her close. Except telling her how that look. Why are we able to love, like show love like that, in the beginning of our relationship, but after we say I do, something goes wrong? You know something? It's in our relationship with the Lord. It's in our relationship with the Lord. If we love God, I should put it this way. We should love God more now than we did when we first believed. But if we look back, sometimes we look back and it seems that we loved God more when we first believed than now. Why? It is easy for us to offend God. The love relationship is kind of not there. He said that to those in Revelations. He said, you're doing everything, but I have this against you. You have lost your first love. Obedience is love. It's to love God. The second thing it tells us obedience is walking in His ways. Walking in His ways. Are you walking in the ways of the Lord? Are you walking in the ways of the Lord? What it means by walking in the ways of the Lord? It means your lifestyle reflects who God is. Now, we were singing that song this morning. I was thinking about, let your light shine. I can't remember if that was the word, but let your light shine. Guess who is the light of Christ on this earth? You are. You are the light of Christ. We sing that song, no light is going to come down from heaven and just shine out there and everybody say, oh, look at Jesus. You are the light of Christ. That's why you have to walk in His way. And the third thing it said here, how the way of life is obedience. And the third thing we see in obedience is keeping the commandments, statutes, and rules of God. Keeping the commandments, the statutes, and the rules of God. Obedience is just simply obeying what God says. If God says it, that's it. There's no arguments about it. You know what we like? I wish we could really have a good debate with God and I could win it. That way, I can do what I want to do. All right? You know, children try to do that. You tell the child something to do, and they give you a debate to show you why they shouldn't be doing or why it's too much for them to do because this one is not getting as much to do or I'm not old enough yet. You know how we do it. We're trying to win a debate with our parents so we don't have to do what we are instructed to do. But with God, it's different. When God says it, that's it. And if kids could learn that today, once God says it, it's over. Once mom and daddy says, look, clean up the yard, that's it. Because guess what? As a child, you are learning how to obey Christ when you obey your parents. When you decide that you want to disobey your earthly parents, you are learning some principles you bring with you into your Christian walk. Because I see the family as a model of the church. The way of life is obedience. Obedience is loving the Lord, walking in His way, and keeping His commandments, statutes, and rules. What is the way of death? What is the way of death? To turn your heart away from God and to turn your worship somewhere else. To turn your heart away from God and to turn your worship somewhere else. If there is something in your life that is more important than spending time with God, you have turned your heart somewhere else. If it's more important for you to express yourself however you want to express yourself instead of the way God wants you to express yourself, you are turning your heart away from God. If there is something you like spending more time with than spending time with God, you have changed your affections for worship. We tend to believe worship is the 30 minutes we spend in this building on Sunday morning, that's worship. That's just one small part of worship. If people look at you and could tell that you love God, you are worshiping God. You know why? The thing you worship is what you're going to talk about. Whatever you worship is what you're going to spend time with. Whatever you worship is going to be important to you. Is Jesus Christ important to you? God gives us a lot of things to enjoy. I mean, tons of stuff to enjoy. He gave us cars that we could enjoy. Mustangs, blue, clean, nice, sparkly rims to enjoy. Is it bad? No. He gave us Xbox with wonderful games that could wear you out. That's things that God gives you to enjoy. He gives you a house to live in with nice things in it. That's He gives you to enjoy. He gives you a business so you don't have anybody else to answer to but God. That's things He gives you to enjoy. But if you allow those things that God has blessed you with to turn you from worshiping Him to worship it, what you have done, you have chosen the wrong answer, even though it's an open book test and you know the answer. Anything that takes you away from God's purpose from your life, you are worshiping. You know what? The test is a multiple question. If God was to give us the test, it would be a one question quiz. Open book test, He gives you the answer. He says, choose from A, B, C, and D. Choose the two correct answers. God wants in your life, life, A, life, B, death, C, blessings, or D, curses. Choose two. What would your answer be? Our life is a constant examination. Our life is a constant test. God has given us the key. Choose life and blessings over death. Guess what? Jesus is not far. Romans 10 and verse 5 said, "For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that a person who does the commandment shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart." That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Salvation is near you. Salvation is near you. So let's live our lives to please God. Amen. Anybody has any